From Nakamixon Media and Siren Records, this is Chloe in the Rex, where we explore all the music you don't know about, but should.
Hey, everybody. It's that time again. All right, so this week I don't have specifically stuff that's necessarily for sale at the store. I'm just kind of doing other shit, but whatever, right? Who cares? I wanted to dedicate this episode to a friend of mine, and she probably won't ever listen to this, but that's okay. So the reason I decided to do this was because she let me borrow a record of hers, which oh my God, I'm so scared that something bad's going to happen to it while it's in my possession. I was afraid to even listen to it because, I mean, it was something the store, we ordered it for her, through Discogs. So I know how much money she spent on it, and it's not a little bit. It's quite a lot. So I'm a little nervous, but so the whole thing with this is she's annoyingly good at telling me things that I will like, if that makes sense. And not in a bad way, obviously. It's just now sometimes people are like, oh yeah, you'll like this. And you're like, fuck you, no I won't. And then you listen to it and you're like, shit. Totally right. She's so good at it. And this is a record that is the best fucking power pop record I've heard in a really long time. And it's destroying me a little bit. Anyway, so there's these other two records that I have bought because of her recommendation. So I'm going to play stuff off that. And then there's another one that I want to play that, is something that I bought it from her one time because she knew I liked him, but I'll get to that. All right. So this record that I have, that's hers, is a band called The Keys, and this is their only album. It's called The Keys Album. Very original. They were only around from 1979 to 83, and this album was produced by Joe Jackson, and there wasn't a ton of info on them, and there's this really fucking great write-up on the back of the sleeve, so I'm just gonna read that. Okay. This, the Keys sleeve note, will be hard to write. Where do we begin? Dates of birth, numbers of brothers and sisters, cheerful anecdotes about their first guitars and how they welded the machine heads to keep them in tune. Who cares? What matters is here and now, and the unique chemistry of the Keys, a rare democracy among beat groups. The Keys sound, many believe, is characterized firstly by Keys harmony, an astonishing technique wherein three voices sing at once, but, and here's the twist, sing different notes. Others simply remark on how Jeff, a giant among drummers, is able to make one tom-tom sound like an orchestra. Most important of all, though, must be the quality, diversity, and sheer class of Keys' songs. From the brash aggression of Hello, Hello to the pop perfection of I Don't Want to Cry, from the epic drama of Saturday to Sunday Night to their one heartbreaking ballad, Greasy Money, if it's not too much, where the 60s meet the 80s, Back to Black, where the 50s meets the 80s, or Run, 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 where Eddie Cochran meets the Beach Boys. Consider, too, their never-ending search for perfection, their use, for instance, of several microphones on the drum kit, and their insistence that the whole recording be made on not one, but eight whole tracks. It has been worth the wait. Throughout Keys' history, there have been desperate times. Would they ever make a record? Or eat with matching cutlery? Somehow. I think anyone with two ears and two feet will agree when they hear this, the proof, this, the Keys album. Written by someone just named Boris. So, thanks, Boris. Honestly, this album is so fucking amazingly good. Every song that played, I'm like, that could be one to play. Ooh, I could play that one. There was not a single song where I was like, probably not that. But I decided on the last song of the album called World Ain't Turnin'. Here it is.
said, oh, I should have tied her to my face, turned red. I just can't get through to you the way those playboys do. And when you're talking to the weather outside, no, the little man is the only one alive. There's nothing wrong with his aim. You could kill, you could maim. You could do anything you want to. There's a fire that keeps on burning.
Love it so much. All right, now I need to put this away before something bad happens. Oh God. Oh God. Yeah, she's coming in tomorrow to collect this from me, and as much as I want to steal it, it's a really stupid idea because obviously she knows I have it. So that's that. All right, so here's a band that she got me into. They're called The Winkees. And I'm not sure if it's because of the band or because of the album cover, which is just men's crotches. Pretty great. All right, these guys were very short-lived, 1973 to 75. They had like a pub rock sound, but with a glam look. Brian Eno took a shine to them, and actually took them as his backing band on his solo tour, the first and only one in 1974. If you can hear that, that's Rocky playing with his new toy. It's very exciting. Anyway, the tour ended up ending early because Brian Eno had a collapsed lung. So that didn't go far. Anyway, They signed with Chrysalis Records, recorded with Leo Lyons from 10 Years After. That never finished, so then they started again recording with Guy Stevens and put out this self-titled album in 1975, and then they broke up like right after this. The Winkees, and here's a song called Trust in Dick. So, that is The Winkees. Totally fucking great band. And, alright, come on now. Come on now. Alright. Now, a band called The Juke. That is J-O-O-K. This is, oh, right, okay. That's the one I wanted. It's a double album. I couldn't tell which one I was pulling out. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, cool. All right, so The Juke. What do I got here? The main kind of thing I was able to find out that was like, claim to fame or something. Not even. The manager of the band, John Hewlett, and the drummer, Chris Townsend, were both in John's Children. John's Children was a short-lived band. I'm not really going to get into that because it's not really relevant, but the main, what's funny is that John's Children, for a short period of time, had Mark Bolan as a member, and that's actually what I'm going to play after this. But anyway, so this is one of those bands that's like really, really good, but they just never got recognized for it. I mean, they had like a decent following of people at their live shows, but as far as like a hit single, just didn't happen. I started their fucking biography thing I found online was like, it was just like all these people's names and dates, and it was like super boring. So I tried to pick out the relevant stuff, and I'm sorry, it's a little disjointed. But basically, so John Hewlett, the manager, wanted them to start dressing differently. So he had them dressing like skinheads, and it actually got them an even larger following for some reason. And the demand for them to open for bigger bands like Wizard and The Faces and Genesis was like crazy. All these bands were like super into them. And apparently it says they inspired this band called the Golden Crusaders, who became the Bay City Rollers. So there's that. I don't know if it was just like weird, like bad luck or just like wrong timing or what it was about them, but they never got a hit single. And eventually their manager started working with that band Sparks and kind of ignored them and never got the recognition that they deserved. And it's kind of sad because you'll hear, I mean, they're really good. They're kind of like, I don't know, sort of like the one thing I found called them the link between The Who and The Jam, I think. Which kind of makes sense. Sort of like that mod thing, but I don't know. You'll hear it. So I decided to play a song called Bish Bash Bosh. Here we go. The Juke. Thank you. All right, so that's Juke. Juke. Bish, bash, bosh. And I think the reason I bought this specifically, it's like a two... I think it's like all of their singles that they ever recorded put onto one album or something like that. Or two albums, sorry. So it's all here. It's all their shit. Like I said, should have been bigger than they were. Or big at all. Oh well. This was, I ordered it through Siren, so if you're interested, I can see if that's something that's still available to order. If not, I'm sorry, but you can probably find it on YouTube or something. So, all right, here we go. So back, this is like years ago, when I first kind of met her. I'm not saying her name on purpose because she's like super fucking private and I just don't want to cross any boundaries. So, she found out that I love Mark Bolan and T-Rex and she's like, oh, well, do you have this album? And I was like, I have, you know, what I have. And so she's like, oh, I'll bring in some stuff. So she brought in, like a stack of T-Rex shit for me and I bought a few things, but this one is called The Beginning of Doves, and it's, like, early shit. It's mostly, like, it's almost just, like, demos, I think, of, like, Mark Bolan, and, before it was really a band, and there's this one song on here that I love so much. It's super short. It's, like, a minute and a half, maybe. I don't actually know. It's called Cat Black, and this was something, sorry, I used to listen to this, I actually had the CD before I had this, and I would listen to it all the time, like, all the fucking time, oh my god, but it's really good. Anyway, so, alright, hopefully you like this as much as I do.
She's back. Been 6 weeks since she blew her stack. Now she's fine, she's all mine. I'm gonna stop her blowing her mind. I can't care black, she's my honey. All she wants to do is spend my money. She's a real gone chicken, I love her so. Knocks me out when she does the rock and roll. Yeah, care black, you know I'm pleased. Here's my heart and here's the keys to mine. Cat black, hey, cat black. Look, okay, let's get turned on and fade away. Cat black, she's so sweet. She's so pretty, I can hardly speak. Dresses in jeans, gets on scenes. She's kind and she's fine. For me, cat black, you know she back. Been 6 weeks since she blew her stack. Now she's fine, she's all mine. I'm gonna stop her blowing her mind again.
Yeah, like I said, crazy short, but I love it. So cute. So cute. He's so cute. Oh my god, I wish he was still alive. That's really all I got. I just wanted to give her an anonymous shout out, since that's probably how she'd prefer it. Yeah, she's really cool and annoyingly good at this stuff. So, you know, waiting for the next thing she tells me. Actually, there was a list of bands I had I was supposed to listen to, but these were ones that I specifically bought because of her. So I might have to do a part two once I check those out. Anyway, I saw Alice Cooper. Was that 2 nights ago? Yeah. Dude, I've been telling everybody about it because, you know, like, I fucking saw Alice Cooper. And I don't know what number time this is. I know I've talked about him before on here, but, like, I honestly, dude, shh, I'm recording. I'm recording. I see you. Either get your ass out here or shut up. I know it sounds like I'm super mean to my cats, but like, he does not care. Just doesn't care. Anyway, the show doesn't honestly change all that much, like, every time I see him. Come here!
Who's a stupid kitty? Stupid kitty.
I never get tired of it. Like, I just don't... I mean, I could see his show, like, every month and still think it was, like, the greatest thing on earth. Like, I just... Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Come here, BB.
Come on out. Come on.
Are you just gonna... Okay. Now everyone's coming. Yeah. I don't really need to go on about him because I've already done that. But I just want everyone to know that I still think very highly of him. Still think it's the best show ever. And if you haven't gone to see him yet, you should. Also, Edgar Winter opened, which was really cool because I got to see him play that song Frankenstein, which I fucking love. Deep Purple played after, but we did not stay for that. Sorry. What else? I don't know. I guess that's it. Yeah. Well, so again, thanks for listening. You know, usual apologies for cat stuff and weird stuff and whatever. But, hey, that's the podcast. If you don't like it, don't fucking listen. All right. I will be back next week. It'll be fucking great, I guess, or something. I don't know. All right. I'm going to shut up now. Okay, bye.
Chloe and the Racks is a Knock and Mixin Media podcast recorded live on location at Siren Records and produced by Stay Calm Industries. All songs are property of their respective owners. The intro-outro music is courtesy of Bobby Kennedy. If you like what you hear, please like, comment, review, and share. That's the best thing you can do for us.